Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Each year on Christmas Eve, we have a reading from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. And in that chapter, there are shepherds and there are angels from heaven and Mary and Joseph, and the baby Jesus is lying in the manger. And it's a very tranquil, very peaceful scene. We worship by candlelight that night. And if we could, we would probably stick with that scene throughout the year because it is so tranquil and so peaceful. But Matthew's gospel doesn't afford us that luxury. There's nothing peaceful and tranquil about Matthew's gospel. Jesus' birth is not disconnected from the dire realities of the world into which he was born, and it is not disconnected from the world in which we live in now. In chapter 1, Matthew highlights the virgin birth, but there is no tranquil manger scenes to be found in his gospel. In the beginning of chapter 2, the initial verses record the Magi coming and bringing their gifts to the baby Jesus, and that's where our text picks up today. After the Magi visited the baby Jesus, they left the country, and they are warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Herod wanted them to return to him so he could find out exactly where the Christ child was. They were warned in a dream to go home via another road out of the country. So that is what they did. Joseph and Herod are central figures in our text here today, and they offer a contrast between what a godly response to God's presence is and what an ungodly response to God's presence looks like. Our text today from Matthew can be broken down into three different sections, and each section or each segment highlights an Old Testament prophecy that is being fulfilled in Matthew's gospel here. And as I've noted before, Matthew, more so than any of the other gospel writers, link so much of his gospel text and Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry back to the Old Testament as the fulfillment of prophecy. And that's really one of the central focuses in Matthew's gospel here today. in this first section, in section 13 through 15, it says that now they had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and the angel warns them to take the child, take the family, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, because Herod is going to try and search for the child and kill this child. So Joseph does what the Lord says. He flees by night to Egypt, and that fulfills a prophecy. It says, out of Egypt I have called my son. So here we see Joseph responding positively to God's revelation that occurred in a dream. And this section has a lot of similarities to another Joseph that we find in the Bible. And for those of you who are going to participate in the Genesis Bible study coming up, we'll read about Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph in the book of Genesis ended up in Egypt, and he's able to interpret dreams, and he has dreams and visions. He's able to interpret these things for people. So he had the ability to do that, and by doing that, he was able to rise to power in Egypt during that time, and he was put in charge of all the granary and all the food distribution and things like that in Egypt. But you might recall that by the time we get to the early chapters in Exodus, chapter 1 actually, the Israelites are enslaved in Egypt by that time. So no doubt that these texts are sort of going around in the back of the mind of Matthew as he's writing this gospel, but the text that he chooses as part of the fulfillment of this section is from the prophet Hosea. Prophet Isaiah says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So it's important to note that Matthew views Jesus as really the embodiment of Israel. Jesus is Israel, if you will. And that's how Matthew sees Jesus. He's the recipient, the bearer, and the fulfillment of all the promises that God made to Israel. All these are wrapped up now in Jesus. And Jesus is the chosen one. He is the Messiah. And this one where he's called up out of Egypt reminds us again of Moses and the book of Exodus, where they are, you know, he's there and he calls the people out, and they're brought out of the land of Egypt where they were enslaved. And no doubt that in Jesus, we see that we've been freed from that as well. The whole world has been freed from the bondage of slavery and sin and death. So we see a lot of connections here with going back to the Old Testament. Matthew is drawing that out here for us. In the second section here, he talks about Herod and when the wise men kind of tricked him, and he was infuriated by that. And so he decides to send out his troops and have all the male children, 2 years old or younger, in the town of Bethlehem and the surrounding town, he has them all killed. And this fulfills a prophecy from the Old Testament. And that prophecy is actually from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived 600 years before Jesus' birth. He was a prophet in Jerusalem during the time when Jerusalem was being destroyed and taken over by the Babylonians, and that was in 587. And he wrote prophecies during that time, seeing a time that would come that would have God bringing a new covenant to his people. The old covenant had failed, and Israel failed to live up to that old covenant, but now there is a new covenant. And Jesus is the embodiment of that new covenant, and that's what Matthew's trying to get across here. And that is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah talks about new covenant-type language in chapter 31 of his book. But in that chapter, in verse 15 in particular, he makes a reference to a voice heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. So Matthew picks up on that verse and ties that to the scene of what Herod did to the children there in Bethlehem. Now, we might think, well, how could anyone do that to the children in Bethlehem? We've seen this in Scripture before. First chapter of Exodus, Pharaoh tells the midwives, you know, who are helping give birth, if you have a male child, destroy the male child. That's what Pharaoh says. to destroy the male child. So in this sense, Herod is like a new pharaoh. And like so many people who reached the levels of power that Herod had reached there, he was very paranoid because he got power through tyranny and things like that. And he was very paranoid and he was concerned about the power. And he was watching people, making sure that nobody would get at his power. So he had one of his wives killed. He had some of his children killed because he thought they were out to take power from him. So he's not a good guy. So for him to go and send the troops into Bethlehem, he probably didn't think much of it. It's not really recorded anywhere else in history other than here in the scriptures, but the way things were back then, it probably didn't even warrant writing about. That's how bad it was during those times. So it is a challenging text that we have here before us today, but Matthew wants us to understand the world that Jesus is being brought into. Herod rightfully sensed that his power was being put in jeopardy by this child. He was right to perceive that because he was being his power was being put into question and called upon there. And he sensed the presence of God, but he reacted negatively, that's an understatement, to God's presence among him. He tried everything he could do to get rid of that presence. In the final section, it says, when Herod died, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, it is okay to go back now to the land of Israel. You can go back there. But even in that Joseph sense, there's something wasn't quite right. He had concerns about that. He was nervous about going back to the land of Israel. Then in another dream, the angel reveals to him to go into the district of Galilee. Don't go back to where you were there in the land of Judea. Go to the district of Galilee and go into Nazareth. And so that's where he went. And that fulfilled the prophecy that Jesus would be called the Nazarene. So we see all these things being fulfilled in just these few verses in the Gospel of Matthew, and throughout the entire Gospel of Matthew, verse after verse of just being this fulfillment of the Old Testament. So we see that throughout the Bible in general, and this text in particular from Matthew has a way of reminding us of the realities of the world that we do live in. And as we close out 2016, we're now into 2017. I was thinking back this week to some of the images that I recall seeing this year that reminded me that we live in a world that still is very challenging and kind of speak to the text that we have here today, trying to make some connections between times back then and here today. One of the images from this past year that stuck out for me and from a lot of people was probably in mid-year when there was a picture of that child in the back of an ambulance in Aleppo, Syria, sitting there. He was pulled out of the rubble from a bomb building. He's sitting in the back of this ambulance, and he just got this stare on his face. He's covered with dust. He's bleeding. He just looks completely helpless and just completely out of sorts. He's just sitting there staring, and it's just from the back of this ambulance. It's one of those images that we see, and it goes viral, and it's around the world and things like that. But we're reminded that just as in Jesus' time, they had to flee their own country and head to a foreign land, Egypt of all places. You know, imagine being told by the angel of the Lord, go to Egypt. That takes faith to get up and do that, because Egypt is not, you know, a place that is thought of as friendly to the Israelites. You know, they got a whole history of that, but that's where they were called to go. And we've seen a mass exodus and immigration from that region of Syria this past year, people leaving there in droves, just being displaced because of the violence and the things like that going on there. Children in particular, just in the middle of bomb zones and things like that. Now this week, it's been brought under control. It is now back under the control of Assad from Syria, which I don't know. You talk about two evils there. I mean, that's not a good situation. I think it's probably the lesser of two evils that at least the city is under control and might be stabilized a little bit. So that's an image that I'm reminded of with this story where they had to flee their country and to look for hospitality elsewhere, you know. So I think we have challenges in this world to look out for those who are displaced, who are fleeing, but also to help maybe prevent those situations from happening in the first place. What can we do? What can we pray for that helps alleviate so many situations around the world that are really desperate situations? There are no specific numbers listed in this text as to how many children Herod killed in this particular raid. Scholars believe, given the size of Bethlehem and the surrounding area, that perhaps 20 children were killed by that raid, 20 too many. Stanley Hauerwas, who is commenting on this text, writes, he says, "Herods must be resisted, but we must not forget that the fear that possessed Herod's life is not absent from our own lives. All Jerusalem was frightened by the news of this child's birth, and the same fear continues to possess cultures, our culture, that believe that they have no time or energy for children. Abortion is one of the names for the fear of time that children make real." End quote. That is a quote from Stanley Hauerwas, who is an ethicist at Duke University. One of the other big stories of 2016 that was in the news was the undercover videos of the Planned Parenthood situation and how those videos sort of shed some light on the inner workings of that organization. It's difficult to get accurate numbers since 1973, when abortion was legalized in this country. But between 1973 and 2013, that 40-year span, the numbers vary between 45 million and 54 million abortions have taken place in this country. So we'll go with the low number there. That averages out to 3,082 abortions in this country every day for 40 years. I mean, that kind of puts that in perspective. The good news is that those numbers are going down. There's a downward trend there, and that's good news. But I think we can sometimes put blinders on or maybe sugarcoat things or not see things as they are. So we have to be aware of the Herods of this world that we might be gravitating towards or not seeing as being so bad in a way. So I think we have to be open to such things. God is present in our world, and he's present in our lives. Our text here today reminds us that we still live in a world where the choices we make matter, and how we respond to God's presence matters. And we can respond like Joseph did in this story. Joseph was a man of faith. Some may argue that he had some pretty convincing evidence to do what he did. The angel of the Lord speaks to him, you know, and he does what he does. But I would argue that we have pretty good evidence as well. I believe that God speaks to all of us. We hear that still, small voice of God quite often in our lives, I'm sure. And we can have some choices to make there. We can hear the word of God and do what God is saying, or we don't have to. We have those choices to make. And sometimes when those decisions that we have to make are very difficult and challenging, we tend to take the easy, comfortable way out, you know, as opposed to hearing God's word and going in faith. And maybe going down those roads that are less traveled, that appear to be more challenging. But ultimately, they aren't as challenging because God is with us during that time and he sees us through those times. So I encourage you This story that we had here today is quite a challenging story to have during Christmas time. I'll be honest. I never preached from this text before. I've always shied away from this text. I drifted over to the text from Paul on this day because it's much more uplifting and things like that. But I went with this text today because I think it does describe the realities of the world that we still live in. And we still have choices to make. And you know, we may not be faced with anything like we've seen here today in this text and whatnot, but we all have individual choices that we make each day. And we can, when we're in the presence of God, which we are, we can decide to go the way that Joseph did and make faithful choices and move forward in faith, or we can go in another direction. We have those choices to make. So I encourage you at the beginning of this new year, 2017, be listening for God's voice, that still small voice that speaks to us all the time, and see if we can't hear that voice anew and hear that voice in faith and be able to step out in faith and make sometimes difficult decisions, do things that might get us out of our comfort zone that might not be easy. But God is with us during those times, and he leads us down those paths. And we are strengthened by God during those times. So I encourage you this year to listen for God's voice, to follow his ways, which are the righteous ways. It's the way of Jesus Christ. And we see that Jesus didn't exclude himself from these situations and the realities of the world. He died from the realities of this world, but he died for our sins. And he was raised from the dead, so that we might have eternal life. So we really have nothing to fear. A lot of times fear prevents us from making decisions. We really have nothing to fear. Put our faith and trust in God, and God will see us through. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.